It might be laser, because it gets it out of the system.
No problem. I've got mine.
Okay.
My own.
A voice sign, our limit of halacha every day is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, B'soich Shor Choyli Yisrael, Shtav Refuah Shneim B'korev. So we were learning about, and it's a very practical thing, and people complain a lot about it, and that is when the Shliach Tzibur is davening Slichas faster than you are, and it happens that you haven't finished saying certain bits. We learnt yesterday about what happens if you're in the middle of a piyut and they're already saying Kei Melech Yoshev HaKasei Rachmim. You're in the middle of Kei Melech Yoshev and they're saying Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanon. We learnt all those halachas yesterday. Another very common situation, I'm speaking for myself, maybe other people don't have the same problem, is that the chazan starts saying Ozrein Elokei Yishen Advakavoy Shemecho at the end, and you're in the middle, all the long bits that you say. Yeah, all the long bits that we say quietly after Tachnun. Yeah, we say Tachnun, and then we've got like a couple of 3 pages of Kerachon Shemechol, Kerachon Shemechol, and Shoyim Yisrael, and all that. Yeah?
What's those long pieces?
Yeah, we've got other long pieces that we discussed yesterday. Right, yesterday we spoke about
Slichas,
so even before the Tachnun. Okay, let's say from after Shema Koleinu until the end of the Slichas, very often you find that the Shliach Tzibur is way ahead of you, and that a lot of people who are still doing their catching up. Right, which is not a problem, except unless they start Brochas straight away and start Shachar straight away, and then you've got a problem because you fall behind there as well. But even let's say if there would be a break of 5 minutes after Slichas so that you could catch up. The problem is that we have a Mesoira that we do not say passages which are in Loshan Arami, we do not say B'Yochid, only B'Tibur. For instance, somebody is davening Shachris on Shabbos morning at home, for whatever reason, he doesn't say the two Yukum Po'okom in Shemayos. He doesn't say B'rich Shemay, and he doesn't say Yukum Po'okom in Shemayo. Right, he can say the Mishaberach. He can't say the Mishaberach either because it says it's Kol Akol Akol Shazeh. What? Some people say he doesn't say the first one. He does say the second one. There's discussion about the Mishaberach because it says Hu Yivorech Kol Akol Akol Shazeh Kol Kolos Akodesh. So can you say that? But the second one, Yukum Purkon, is also written in Loshon Arami, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if that quote is not to say things, so here comes the problem. What about Moche Omase? Moche Amase, Memes of Chaye, yeah? That is written in Rosh Larami. And what happens if the Shliach Tzibur has already moved on from there and you're not saying Moche Amase, but Tzibur? You are in the Tzibur. Oh, so there's discussion about that. So, you can put on also. What happens if you're late or you're taking longer over it than the Shliach Tzibur, yeah? And you're in the Tzibur. And the same thing applies to Brich Shmei. And the same thing applies to Brich Shmei. Yeah, what happens if you're in the middle of Brich Shmei, or you haven't even started Brich Shmei for whatever reason, because you were being Mechavan by Hibin Soya Oroin, etc. And then the Shliach Tzibur has already said Brich Shmei, and he's on for Shmei Yisrael. Do you add it afterwards? So Azoy Shteit Azoy. Yeah, this is note 11 in the Dirshu Mishabura. Simitov Kufpe Aleph. He says as follows: V'mhoya minyan va'omru moche amase. So the minyan have said moche amase. They've said the Aramaic shtickle at the end, and you're behind them. Va'yochid lo hispik la'omroi, and he didn't manage to say it. Now he's behind them. They're speaking Loshon HaKodesh already, and he wants to say this moche amase, which is Loshon Arami, on his own. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote: Shemistabe shi'yochid la'omroi afilu acharei shatzibosim hu la'omroi. He can still say it. That's Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Kum to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Shlomo Auerbach says, Ulam, im simu hatzibur loima es kol haslichois. What happens if they've already said Kaddish, and you're behind, and you haven't yet said Boche or Masse? Says Reb Shlomo Hoyer, Agor, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Shashuv loy yoima Boche or Masse. Then now you're on your own. Once the Tzibur have finished Kaddish Tiskabal, then Slichas are over, and therefore if you didn't manage to say Moche Amase, or Avada Kolshkein if you're Beyechidus, but even if you're still with the Tzibur who said it, but you didn't manage, same thing applies. He says, what about Yukum Purkon? So what happens if the tzibur finished saying Yikum Porukon and you haven't managed to say it? Then he says there as well, says Shekosav, the Mishnah Berurah says, Shalo Yemrenu Bechidus, Chaim Kanievsky writes, Sheyochel Oimroi Lacha Shatzir Vosimu Oimroi. Okay, but then there's an interesting one about Brich Shmei. Right? Brich Shmei is slightly different, I don't know why. Yeah, what happens? What? You can still say B'tzibur, even though you're behind them and they're ahead of you. But that you can because you're still in the Tzibur. So I would have thought that the same would apply to Brich Shmei. Yeah, if you're in the middle of Vayhib in Sa'a Oran, you'll be a Mechavad, Avarachmi, whatever it is. Yeah, and then you didn't manage to say Brich Shmei, and the Chazan's already said Shema Yisrael. Yeah, Echad L'Keinu. The Avadi, you say Shema Yisrael with him. You say Echad L'Keinu with him. You say, Mizma L'Dovit. No, not that one. No, sorry. Yeah, normally say what's called L'Cho Hashem Agdullu V'Agvur V'Atzvah, and etc. Avarachmim. So the question is, can you now say Brich Shmei? Can you make it up afterwards? Here he says, very interesting, a bit different. Shem Lo Omri B'Shas Otsuas HaSefer Torah, Yochel Lo Omri Ad Shepoyzchen As HaSefer Torah Likrei Boy. You can only say Brich Shmei until they've opened the Sefer Torah in order to lign. But once, yeah, but Umashma, Afshah Simu Loimroi, they finished, you're saying it B'Yechidus, you can only say it, I don't know why, but it seems like Brich Shmei only applies in that bit of davening which is up to Kriyas HaTorah. And once they've started Kriyas HaTorah, if you didn't manage to say Brich Shmei, then you can't say it.
Yikum Porukon, they often say it too quickly for you to say it anyway.
That's what we said. So we said that Yikum Porukon, as long as you're with the Tibur, you can still say it afterwards. Yeah, and we were going back now to Slichos, and we said that as long as you're with the Tibur up to the end of Slichos, yeah, up to the end of Slichos, then you can say Mochi Omase afterwards, which is also Aramaic. But after that, you're stuck.
What do you mean by with the Tibur? I mean, you're in the same room?
You're in the room. Yeah. So you're in the room, right? So as I said, with Brich Shmei, you can only do it up to Kriyas HaTorah. With Yikum Porukon, a Mochi Omase, a Mochi Omase also only up to where the Shliach Tibur hasn't yet finished Slichas. Yeah. Once the Tibur finished Slichas and they've said Kaddish Tiskabel, then you can't say Mochi Omase anymore. Yikum Porukon, it seems that as long as you're there, even till the end of it, doesn't say anything here about up to whether there's a time limit. So it seems that Yikum Porukon, as long as you're with the Tibur in the shul up till the end of Anim Zemiris, yeah, it would appear that you can say it. Okay? There's this. Right. I've got a suggestion. I don't know whether it is a suggestion, but it's brought down later. In I can't remember which siman it is. There's a discussion about how many times to say Oshamnu. Yeah, there's a machlokes between basically Nusas Fad Nusas Ashkenaz. Yeah, Oshamnu in Slichas. Right, you say Nusas Ashkenaz says three times Oshamnu in Slichas. Right, Nusas Fad Chasidim only say Oshamnu once in Slichas. Yeah, I had a marker on the place and I've lost it. I've got it here. Oh, here it is. Simatov, you've never heard of it?
No.
Okay. No, I don't know what Eidut Mizrach does. Yeah, but listen to this. Well, listen to. I'll tell you what they do because. No, I don't know. The Simatov Reish Beis, right? This is the Ramor in Hilchas Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Not where we are in Hilchas Slichas. He writes there, the Ramor writes, V'oimrim b'chol yoim, sholosh pa'omim vidui koidem alois ha'shacha. So the Ramah says quite clearly that you say three times vidui koidem alos hashacha, or shamnu you say three times at the end of slichas. Yeah, says the Baha Heitev, v'ha'arizal b'sefer hakavonos kosav she'ein la'oimrei rak pa'amachas. That the Arizal wrote that you should only say oshamnu once, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. V'chein miyoyim rishon de slichos ad erev Rosh Hashanah kein mashma b'amin hokim. So the same, it brings down here in the notes of the Dirshu, it brings down the Baya Heitev, which brings down B'Shem Na'ari, only to say it once. And he writes there, V'chein Muva B'Shem Hagro, that the Vilna Gaon also only said Oshamnu once, or B'Shem Harizal, brought in the Baya Heitev, V'chein Huva Shanoag HaChofetz Chaim, that the Chofetz Chaim himself had the Minag only to say Oshamnu once. Okay? So therefore, we in Usa, I mean, in the Chassidus Shabbat Midrashim, we only say Hashamnu once. I'm just wondering whether or not, for somebody who's fallen behind and wants to catch up in order to say Moche Amase with the Tzibur, and he's Nusa Chashkenaz, then maybe it would be an Eitzah for him that he should only say Hashamnu once. Yeah, see, Hayois, that there is such a minig, and not only is it a minig, but it seems She'ein Lo'oimroi Elo Pam Achas. And you've got the Arizal, you've got the Vilna Gaon, you've got the Chavetz Chaim, who all had the minig only to say Hashamnu once. Then maybe it might be an idea for somebody who's fallen behind and he's trying to catch up with the Tibur, and he wants to say Moche Amase with the Tibur, which is a Loshon Arami. Yeah, then it might be that that's an Eitzah for him. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm just carrying on with Alocha because the speaker's not here yet. And if he is here, he probably can't find anywhere to park. I don't know. So I'm just going to carry on one more halacha, which I looked ahead.
If he has parked, he can't work out the code.
That's also true. He might be standing at the door. Is the door... The door's open. The builder's got the doors open. Yeah. Okay. So just one more halacha then. This can happen quite often. Although the people who know about it... Sorry, the people who learn this won't know about it. Yeah, right. And that is, what happens if there isn't a minyan at the end of Ashrei? So for those people who don't come early, yeah, who are not there at the beginning of Ashrei, at the beginning of Slichas, and there is not yet a minyan, there aren't 10 people when they get to the end to say the Chatzi Kaddish. Yeah, so what should one do in that situation?
Unheard of,
exactly. Yeah, by once, yeah, it would never happen. Not even at the 3 o'clock Slichas.
Never been there.
Okay, so... Yeah, so what happens if there isn't a minyan at the beginning of Ashrei? So I would have thought, so you carry on without the Kaddish. Yeah, so that's the halacha, that you do carry on with the Kaddish, but it says as follows. He says, Im ein minyan be'es amiras Ashrei. If there is no minyan at the time of saying Ashrei, yoyim aslichas, carry on with the slichas. Kuyavoyu minyan, and later on when there is a minyan, when a few more people turn up, and we now have a minyan, then you say Kaddish be'emtza haslichos, you stop the slichas, presumably at the end of a chapter, yeah, at the end of a paragraph, somewhere convenient, because it's not urgent, yeah, but you do say the Kaddish in the middle of the slichas, and Eliyahu Rabbah says that the shlich, that the tibur, the 10 people who have arrived now, should have said 3 psukim together, kishyesh minyan. In other words, they should at least have said 3 psukim b'tzibur, and on that they can say already the Kaddish, yeah? And then comes the, what happens the other way around? What happens if you have 10 people for slichas, and then one of them, or one or more, has left during the slichas, so that when you get to the Kaddish to skabel at the end of slichas, you don't have a minyan for Kaddish. So what's the halacha there? So normally speaking, with Kaddish to Skabel, if you had a minyan for Shmoneh Esrei and you daven b'tzibur Shmoneh Esrei, that even if one or more, there's less than a minyan available. Even if there's less than a minyan available at the end of davening to say Kaddish Tiskabel, and Kaddish Tiskabel is always the Kaddish that we say after Shmoneh Esrei. We say Tiskabel to Loisoin uva Usoin to Chol Beis Yisrael, that our tefillah should be accepted. So this is a tefillah that it goes on the Shmoneh Esrei. The tefillah Tiskabel to Loisoin uva Usoin. The Loisoin uva Usoin is speaking about tefillah, and we say our Kaddish Baruch Hu should accept our tefillah. Therefore, every Shmoneh Esrei b'tzibur is always followed at some point by a Kaddish Tiskabel, either immediately afterwards, as in Mincha Maariv, yeah, or later on after Ashrei Avol Tzion in Shachris. But we always finish every Tefillah B'Tzibur with a Kaddish Tiskabel. Hu Adin, we finish Slichas with a Kaddish Tiskabel. And therefore the halachas of Kaddish Tiskabel after Slichas will be the same as the Kaddish Tiskabel during davening, which is that if there was a minyan available during Tefillah B'Tzibur, then you say the Kaddish Tiskabel, even if some people have already packed up their tefillin and run off to business or to rota or whatever they have to do, and they're no longer there at the end of davening, then you can still say Kaddish Tiskabel. Hu Adin, it says the same thing with Slichas.
Because the whole thing about Slichas, it mirrors davening.
Exactly.
Ashrei,
yes. Yeah, the Seder of Slichas is similar to the Seder of Tefillah. Yeah, it starts off with, you always have, in Tefillah, you always have to say an Ashrei. You always have to say some praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you start with the Tefillahs. Because you're acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are, you know, I praise you for being the creator of the world, and therefore you are the body, the deity to whom it's right that I can daven, because you have the power to give it. You created the world, therefore you can give these things, you can answer my bakoshas. Therefore, as a result of that, okay. No, not here. Okay.
So,
I haven't got, trying to think of if I've got anything I can tell you on the Sedra offhand, which I can't. I'll tell you an interesting Shaila. I don't think we discussed it here. I'm not sure whether we have. I was in Manchester a few months ago, and at the end of Parshas Acharemos, I think it is, it says there, V'lois v'skadishtem v'yisem kadoshim, V'lois v'shaktsu es nafshoyseichem, etc. There's an inyan of not defiling your bodies. Not defiling your bodies. And Rashi brings down there, and it's brought down in Halacha, in Orach Chaim Siman Gimel, that if a person needs to go to toilet, right, that he has to go straight away. Hamasha in a kova, but it's a Gemara in, I think Makas Tezayin, but I could be wrong. The Gemara says, Hamasha in a kova over ba'asei, over lo yisashaktus nafshoy seicha. Which means that if you're on the motorway, yeah, and you need to go to the toilet, then you stop at the first service station possible. That's how it goes. You stop at the Mishnah Berurah brings down that the only reasonable excuse for being Mashen the Kovov is if he can't find a suitable place to do it. Right? Somebody who's not prepared to do it in a B'dievet place, so he can hold himself back until he needs. Yeah, but if he needs to go, basically, you go as soon as possible, you don't wait. So Reb Yitzchok Zilberstein has a shaila that he got a call from somebody who was driving in Israel and stopped at a service station. He was driving in Israel, he stopped at the service station, and he phoned up Reb Yitzchok Zilberstein from the service station. He paid for his petrol, and he said, please, can I use the toilet? And the person who took his money at the service station said, we do not have a toilet here in the petrol station, but we have an arrangement with the restaurant next door, yeah, that our customers can use the restaurant next door. So he said, fine, thank you very much. So he pays for his petrol, he goes out, he goes to the restaurant next door. The restaurant is a tray for McDonald's. It's open on Shabbos. It serves basar v'cholov. It serves white meat. It's really... And he's like thinking to himself that, you know, he looks back at the service station, there are loads of cars parked there, there are picnic tables, there are from families eating, yeah, there are from people driving in and out all the time. And if they see him coming out of a McDonald's, they'll be choshe b'chsherim. Who knows what he's been doing inside there? Yeah? You say they won't, right? He was worried that they might. Okay? So he cleared like this. So from one point of view, I've got a problem that people might suspect me. There's a Mara sign that I'm going into a restaurant. Maybe I ate something there. Maybe I was so desperately hungry that I talked myself into believing that you can eat a salad there or something like that. There are people who think that way. Yeah. On the other hand, there's a love of being Masha in the Kovov. I can't afford to wait until I move on to another petrol station or to somewhere else because I'm desperate. So what shall I do? So Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein answered him and said, you don't have to worry. They, the people in the service station, have a mitzvah of betzedek tishpoit amisecho. They have a mitzvah of judging you favorably. When you come out of that McDonald's, when you come out of the door and they see you coming out and you're an Orthodox Jew, right? They have to be don lechavskus. They have to be don lechavskus that you went in to go to the toilet. They have to be don lechavskus you went in to find out about the heksher. They have to be don lechavskus that you went in to buy a can of Coke. Yeah? Or they have to be don lechavskus that you went in to collect the rent. Yeah? But they can come up with all sorts of reasons as to why you were in there. And therefore, you don't have to worry about them.
That's why it's called Maris Ayin. Because if you look at it, why not Maris Ayin?
Yes.
I'm looking at it with one eye.
Very interesting, okay.
With two eyes,
nice thoughts. Marasayan is only because you're looking at it with one eye, not with two eyes. You're not seeing the other side of the story. You're only seeing one side. Okay, fine. Yeah, so the Chayra, that's not the whole of the answer. Rudi, yeah, I might hand over to you in a minute, yeah, but we'll see. I'm just filling in at the moment because the speaker's not here. So, the Chayra, if the Olam finds it interesting, carry on a little bit, yeah? The Chayra, that's not the whole of the answer. Why? Because there's another assay in the Torah, in Parshas Matos, which says, V'yisem Nekiyim Me'ashem Me'Yisrael. And we learn out from V'yisem Nekiyim, we learn out that a person has to do things in order that people shouldn't suspect him. For instance, all of you know that there was that everybody gave a machzis hashekel. The machzis hashekel was put in three large boxes, kupois, in the Beis HaMikdosh. From time to time, they had to raid the piggy bank. Yeah. Not piggy bank, chas v'shalom. Yeah, but right, they had to raid. Right, they needed money for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdosh, and therefore they had to take the money out from the machzis hashekel. So they sent the kohen down to open the box and to remove a bagful or however much it was of machzis hashekels to pay for the expenses of the Beis HaMikdosh, the korbanos, the upkeep, whatever it was. So it says there, the Mishnah says quite clearly that the kohen who went in order to be toyer mesalishko had to wear a beged in which it was impossible to conceal any silver, any machzis hashekel. It had no hems, it had no seams, it had no pockets, it had nowhere where. Why, says the Mishnah? Because if he would become rich, everybody would say, he stole from the machzis hashekel, and that's how he became rich. If he became poor, everybody would say, he stole from the machzis hashekel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him. Yeah, and that's why he became poor. So whatever happens, he was going to be suspected. Therefore, you have to avoid the possibility of suspicion by giving him a beged, which he wears, which is just sort of a single shift from top to bottom, without any hems, without anywhere where you conceal. So you see there, that's one of the examples. There's another example.
If you need the toilet, it's a different case altogether.
Why?
Because if you need the toilet, you need the toilet.
I know, but he could control himself and go to the next service station. Okay, we don't want to, right? You're making a point. Some people could think, yeah, that Hamasha Nakovov Oiva Ba'aseh, the Gemara says, although it's not Mamash one of the 613 mitzvahs, but nevertheless, it's Oiva Ba'aseh, which could be more severe than the Marasayim, which is a Chashash Rabbono. Could argue. But here we're saying that the Kohen, who is Torah Masalishko, he's making a shtadlus, the Beis HaMikdash are trying to make sure that the Mishnah brings other examples. There's an example, for instance, that there was one of the houses of the Botei Kuhuno, who specialized in the baking of the Lechem Aponim. And that they did off-site. They did it in their, wherever it was that they lived, Noivir HaKoinim or something, in their own, what's called, but they had the specialist knowledge of how to bake the, so the Beis HaMikdosh supplied them with the flour, the Beis HaMikdosh supplied them with the ingredients, they baked the Lechem Aponim at home, and they brought the Lechem Aponim to the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Mishnah, I think it's either Mishnah or Brisa, I don't know, says that in that family, they never, ever ate white bread. That nobody should be choshed them, that maybe they siphoned off some of the flour which they got from the Beis HaMikdosh, or they had some left over, and it was from that. Another example is brought down. There was another one of the Botei Kuhuno that specialized in the making of the Ketores. And it says there that although a woman has a marital right to wear perfume, yeah, and it says that if a husband doesn't allow his wife to wear perfume, then she has grounds for divorce. But when a person from the family of the Botei Kuhuno that made the Ketores, right? They had the takona that women never wore perfume in that family, in order that nobody should suspect that they took from the samim of the Ketores, which they were using to make Ketores in order to make perfume for their wives. And yeah, so that what happened was that you did a kedushin al tanai. He said, "Hurry up, makudesh asli, betabasu kedas moish of Yisrael al tanai." He said that, you know that when you marry into our family, that you will not be allowed to wear perfume. So that was a condition in the two. Why? So that nobody should suspect. So we see that a person has to make hishtadlus in order that nobody should suspect you. So therefore, I would have suggested that this person who comes out of the McDonald's having used the toilet should be carrying two cans of Coke. Yeah, he should be carrying a couple of cans of Coke, right? He should stand immediately outside the door and start saying Asher Yotzam, Gros Kavona, Gros Kavona, and his hands should be wet and he should be wiping them on a towel, etc., in order that he should make a shtadlus, in order that those people ask for Yisem Nakiyim. As for Yisrael Nakim, he should make a shtadlus that they shouldn't suspect him. Right? But I thought maybe, yeah, so the question is then, on Rabbi Yisrael Zilberstein, why didn't he suggest that? Why didn't he say that you should do shtadlus in order that they shouldn't suspect you? He simply said they have a din of b'zei tish by damisecho. So there's a sefer called, not sefer, oh, it is a sefer, it's an English book called The Other Side of the Story, written by Robertson Summit, in which she does all these examples. So she brings the example there as follows. She says, a lady comes to the park with her little boy. Let's call her Miriam, because we're going to have two ladies, okay? So we've got a lady called Miriam, and she comes to the park with her little boy, and they arrive at the sandpit, and in the sandpit there is a little boy and a little girl, and they've just made the most exquisite castle out of the sand, with turrets and a moat and a drawbridge and stones for the windows and a little area in the middle which is grassed for the quadrangle, etc. It's an absolute masterpiece. And they're just putting the finishing touches to it, and they stand there and they admire their beautiful work, beautiful castle, yeah? And then they go home. Then they go home. So this little boy says to his mother, Miriam, says, Mummy, says, can I stamp all over it? Yeah. He wants to run onto it, yeah, and he wants to stamp it and he wants to ruin the castle. And she says, you can't do that. Look at it, so much work and it's so beautiful. Mm. Yeah, go and play on the swings and we'll admire the castle. She doesn't let him. Okay. A minute later, another kid comes along and launches himself at the castle. And he smashes the whole thing down. He's laughing his head off. He's at the time of his life. And he runs away. So now this little boy comes back to Miriam. And he says, Mummy, he says, can I stamp it down now? It's already half ruined. Yeah, can I do? Yeah, she says, yeah, now you might as well. So he's busy stomping it down. Yeah, and the first little boy and girl turn up with their mother. And they had gone home in order to fetch their mother, in order to bring the mother to show her the castle that they built. Yeah? And she looks at this kid, yeah? And she looks at the mother. She gives them a dirty look. Her children are bawling, they're crying their eyes out. She's trying to calm them down. And this lady's looking on, and she knows that obviously the mother believes that it's her son who did it, because she caught him stamping all over the castle. Yeah? So she says, in such a situation, right, clearly it's very hard for the mother to be Don Lachavskos, right? For the mother of the... I mean, you can be Don Lachavskos. How should he have known that they were going to come back? He thought they'd gone away, etc., etc. You can be Don Lachavskos, but in the heat of the moment, Taka, what happened was that the mother of the little boy who was stomping the castle went over and tried to speak to the other mother, and the other mother shouted at her, yeah, the mother of the children who made the castle, and said, don't you think you caused enough damage? Go away, leave me alone. You've done enough harm for today. So there, in that situation, right, the mother is mechuyev to do her best to try and inform, yeah, this Miriam is mechuyev to do her best to inform the mother of the kids who made the castle, one way or another, yeah? The mother of the kid who stomped the castle, of the second kid who stomped the castle second time round, is mechuyev to make her hishtadlus, to do her best, one way or another, to explain to the mother of the children that it wasn't her son, because she's being choshed b'ksherim, yeah, and it's not her fault in a way because it's him. So therefore, lechoyah, I want to make just a chilik between the two situations. Right? In the case of the sandcastle, it's very difficult at the time for the mother to be Don Lachavskos. How should she dream that the kid who's stomping on the castle is not the kid who stomped the castle first? He was only stomping on a castle that had already been stomped. So therefore, it's very hard for her to be Don Lachavskos. And therefore, in that situation, I ask for Yisem Nakim Hashem Ami Yisrael, that people should not be Choshev B'Chsheim. I have to make Ishtadlus, like we said, in the case of the perfume, in the case of the bread, in the case of the Trumas Alishko, we have to make Ishtadlus that people shouldn't suspect. In the case of McDonald's, Right, our case of the service station, as far as I can see, it's very, very easy to be done lachavschus. You see a frum guy coming out of McDonald's, you don't need to suspect him that he sat down in order to have a Big Mac. You know, it's that's not really what you... There are plenty of logical and plausible explanations that you can come up with. And therefore, there, in that situation, maybe that's why Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein would have said to him, you don't have to make any ishtadlus. They have to do b'tzedek tish by tamistecho, because it's very easy. But then there are situations where a person is choshe b'sheirim and there is a risk, then in that situation, I would say that a person is b'chuyiv to make the ishtadlus that other people should not suspect it. And Mi'at Hashem, we do ishtadlus, and the Rabbi Yishon will be done as lachav schus.
Every from Jew should carry in their car a sandwich board which says, I'm only going into this restaurant to go to the toilet.
Atem nitzuvim ayem kilchem lifnei Hashem elekeichem. Once the Imre Emes was the son of the Sfasemes. When he was a little child, his father called him over, the Heilige Sfasemes. And he said to him, what's this week's sedra? So he said, Nitzuvim Vayailech. So he asked him, how do you reconcile? Other steitman or the guideman. In other words, Nitzuvim means you're standing, you're stationed. Vayailech means you're going. So what's it? One of the two. What's it to be? So the Imre Emes knew you don't answer the Sfasemes. If he asks a question, he's obviously got an answer to it. So he says, Sefer Dvurim is a Sefer Techucha. Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuking the Yidden and explaining to them the follies of some of their ways that they behaved in the time of his Hanhuga. And consequently, he said, Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim, Baba Yailach Moshe. There's a distinction between the two of you. I am now the day of the about to depart from the world, and the Rebbein Shlom gave me the title of Ishwe Lekim. That's because there's a reason behind it. Because Vayailach Moshe, Moshe was constantly going, he was growing, he was a hoylech. However, but Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim means that you, Lamasa, are Yidden, he was speaking to Klal Yisrael, are stationary, and that's the difference between it. So you can have Nitzuvim and Vayailach. The Nitzuvim is referring to Moshe speaking to Klal Yisrael, which was Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim. Vayailech was Vayailech Moshe. Moshe Shingang, nein, noch nicht. So, incidentally, there was a Talmud of the Heilige Marshal who was called the Mate Moshe. And the Mate Moshe says the Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim is Gematria 694, which is exactly the same Gematria as La Moid Leslichois, which means that usually the Shabbos before Slichas, unless it's a 2 day between, then you start in Parshas Kisuvot. But ordinarily it works very beautifully. Atem Nitzuvim Hayoim, Lamed Slichas. You are getting up today to get up and to rise early for Slichas immediately after Shabbos and Metzuvah Menicha, which are both Begematria 694. The Masse, let's have something to take home with for Shabbos on the Sedra. And this is a vote which I heard B'Shem Reb Max Gift, of you think heißt noch first Numen? Mordechai Gifte. Who he used to call himself when they asked him, what's your name? He said, I'm Max Gifte.
I'm not
So he pointed out that the Torah is written without vowels, and when it comes to the words ki b'shriris libi eilech, leman sefoisu ru es hatzmayu, which is a person speaking to himself, what we call rationalizing, and he would say, I'm all right, Jack, the good old-fashioned English expression to explain how a person goes his own happy way and is really not concerned about anybody else. And starts off with the Shoyresh Poyre Roish Belano, which is incidentally Rosh HaTaiva's Shoyfer. The Shoyfer goes right deep inside to the person to uproot it. But when he hears this rebuke, Is buch bevuvay leim mashula mieli. I'm alright. Ki b'shrius libi eilech. So he noted about regifta that b'shrius libi would ordinarily be written with a yid. B'shri rus libi, and between the two reishes there is no yid at all. Consequently, you can read it b'sroros libi. B'sroros libi means under the authority or of the dominion of my heart. What did he mean? So, Ramatra said there are places in the world, pockets where we would consider the most opulent homes, the most wealthy, most extravagant lifestyles, and would say normally would describe that as Hollywood. People have got celebrities with massive homes, swimming pools, special sections for servants and maid servants, etc., etc. They live it up, and of course they throw parties. So parties, barbecues, Ozan, Al Hashem, Al Mashiach, Al Lebedik. It's interesting to see that whenever you look at the newspapers the next day when one of these big parties is splashed, that there's something at the end of it which is always finishes on a sinister note. Either one fellow finds himself in the pool dead and he's been, or another one got shot, or that the police came and found them all on heavy narcotics, or that there was an exceptional demonstration of promiscuity that happens at these parties. Whatever it is, it doesn't end well. Fregt Reb Motre Gifte, interessante Sache. Do you want to enjoy life? Joy. You got money? Spend it. You want to have a party? Enjoy it. But why does it always have to finish off on this sinister note? Why does it always have to end with either violence, drugs, promiscuity? Can't you be what we would call in Yiddish an idle baltave? Stand oben, es, trink, mach a leben. Aber you don't have to, how do you say, stoop to the abyss of this type of behavior. He says, because it doesn't work like that with the Yetzer Hara. The moment that you've given him license and you say, Shulam Yili ki bishrirus libi eilech, I am going to do what I like, then the heart says, in other words, the Yetzer Hara, who's resident in the heart, okay, so I'm licensed now to enjoy. It doesn't work like that, because now it's Sroros Libi, and you are under the dominion and under the authority of your heart, and the Yetzer Hara will drive you right until the abyss. And you have no longer any choice, because you've already given him validation, you've given him license. That's the Bishriros Libi turns into Bisroros Libi. So therefore that need which is missing there is a double-edged interpretation of the same word. Just conclude briefly on a thought for Rosh Hashanah as well, something which we say by Hayom Haras Olam Hayom Yamed B'Mishpat. I probably have said this word before, but I love it, so I'm going to say it again. So if you've heard it, please be with me, because it's the name of the, I think, in the Eshte Belzeruf, and he says Hayom Yamed B'Mishpat Kol Yitzira Yelomim Im Kvunim Im Kavudim. And then we go on to explain, and when we elucidate, we say, Im Kavunim, if we like children, that's fine. Every father has mercy on his son. Im Kavudim, Demos Rachmaini, Demos Rudainaini Lachut Elias, we look up towards you, Rabbein Shlolim Zadach, Rachm of Yiddish Kinder, Mesoitziko im Shmutaini. So the Shia Lebelze said, there is a machloikas in the Gemura explaining a memra between, I think it's Rabbi and Chachomam. Rabbi says, Pusik says, Bunim atem l'Hashem alekaichem. You are children to the Rabbeinu Shloim. And now the Gemura says, according to Chachomam, they say, only bizman she'atem uysem retzoyne shel mukoyim, if you are fulfilling the obligations of what the Rabbeinu Shloim wants, atem kriim bunim. You are deserving of the title and of the accolades, children. But if you don't do that, then you've lost this this special batch. Maya says doesn't work like that. Sorry. Which is something that's actually quoted in the Sliches. I think it's an Erev Rosh Hashanah. Beinkach beinkach kriim bunim means there's no such thing. A son is a son. It's biological. And therefore, if you're a son, you can't say, I'm a son sometimes, I'm a son, and not on other occasions. And therefore, bunim atem l'Hashem l'kachem, your children regardless. That's the machlokes between Rav Maya and Chacham. Furthermore, we don't pass like Rav Maya. You know why? There's a couple of reasons. One reason is because he learned Torah from Acha, who was known as Elisha ben Avir, and therefore there was some tarnished element as far as Chachumim looked at it, because somebody who eventually departed and went off the Derech, there must be some sort of grime there attached to the Torah. But he said, Rav Maya Rimoin Ru, he saw a pomegranate. Incidentally, that's why we eat pomegranates as well on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Because Toichai Uchal Klipusei Zurak, he ate only the beautiful red, juicy pips, but the yellow, bitter peel he discarded. So we asked Ribbono Shel Olam also the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's true, we've got a virus. It's true, we've got the yellow, bitter part to us as well. Rimoin, Toichai Uchal, look at all those Malayan mitzvahs, Kerimoin, that we've got the 613. But that's, we are digressing. Therefore, he said that since he believed that Rimoin, that he could actually learn from Elisha ben Avir, therefore, he was not affected by the negativity. But there's another reason. The other reason which is brought down is because Rav Maya had such profound depth of intelligence. He was so exceptionally deep that nobody understood him. Which they say, Loi yordu l'sof da'atoi. They could never really, how to say, appreciate and delve to the depths of his understanding. So you can't pass about somebody you don't understand him. But therefore they don't come pass like Rav Maya. But it says in Himmel by the Ribbono Shel Olam they do pass like Rav Maya, because there you're yoldul sof tate. The Ribbono Shel Olam has no problem understanding Rav Maya's depth of intelligence because he gave it to him in the first place. Based on that, now that we understand this machlokes that we don't accept the Torah of Rav Maya because lo yodu lo sof da'atoi, but in heaven they do. Now we can understand how beautifully this all falls in place with regards to this. Hayoi Maya Soilom. This is the day that the world was, it's birthday of the world, it's created. Yeah? Hayoi Miyamid Bamishpot Kol Yetzira Elumim. This is the day that all creations are standing in judgment. But could be one of two ways. Im Kavunim, Im Kavudim. They might be Bebchina of children, but there might be Bebchina of servants. Im Kavunim, so we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Tefillah, if we are like children, we can expect and hope and supplicate towards you that you should have Rachmunus on us like children. However, if we are not in this Bebchina, Ve'im Kavudim, but we are like servants, so now we have to go back to the Machlokes of Rav Maya Chachomim. And Rav Maya says that there's no such thing as sometimes children and sometimes not, but always we are b'chinas of bunim, because it says clearly in the Torah, bunim atem l'Hashem melekeichem mikol mukoim, as yidden zene kinder zum Eibishten. But for that we have to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because he paskens like Rav Maya. We don't pasken like Rav Maya, because he is Yoyred L'Sof Data of Rav Maya, and we on this world are not. So im Kavudim, if Rachmunus not, we are in the position of servants, then a Naini L'Chut Elias, we look towards you, Ribbono Shel Olam, because you do pasken like Rav Maya. Besoitzi Ku'oy Mishpatania, consequently, you'll be able to bring out our judgment. Uyam Kudosh should be a bright and light judge from the Zolzokesan, Saksiva, Vachsima Teuve, Nagit, Kipen, Schlechtik, Yuen, Sesam, Bebchinnas, Vim Bunen. That's also answered in that.
What's the word on improvisation? That's better than it's supposed to have been.
I think that's what happened. Yeah. The thing of the coin girl was interesting in the money, and the tiber for money is greater than the tiber for trade. So,
yeah. Example, not a comparison.
I mean, we've done it. I feel